need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to NatureBack, the talk show where we are talking with investors and entrepreneurs about the green future. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today on Sidelines of Impact Day in Tallinn, my guest is Joshua Lin from Ocean Package. Welcome, Joshua.
Hi, nice. Thank you so much for having me. It's really a pleasure to be here in Tallinn and Estonia and have a talk with you on this podcast. So I'm one of the founders of the Ocean Package. We are a Munich-based company, so from Germany, and we created a way of reusable packaging which goes 20 times more often around than the usual cardboard. And we also focus mainly on having a high rate of recycled materials in the material, in the packaging itself from the start. So right now we have more than 80% recycled materials, and the Ocean Package comes from a portion of ocean materials. So in the beginning we thought that reusable packaging itself is not enough. We wanted to do an impact as well, so we looked up and looked for startups out there who are collecting beaches, cleaning beaches, who are collecting plastic from rivers and stuff like that. And we're working close to together with them all over the world. The first one was a Danish company, the second one was a company from Holland, and now we're working with one from Indonesia. And basically what they are doing is collecting plastic in systems where there is no waste management. In Indonesia, for example, they do not have a waste management. So the startup we are working with is going into the communities, working together with locals, and are collecting all over the place and are recycling the plastic. Mm. And after that, we take 30% of that materials in our boxes. And so we have 30 out of 80% recycled materials from ocean-bound, ocean-impact plastic. Mm. That's where the name The Ocean Package comes from. And the other 50% are recycled materials from Germany, Italy. So right now we are producing locally in Italy, in north of Italy, which is closer to Munich than Berlin, for example. We are really focusing on having the biggest impact with the materials itself in the beginning, and then after that we are looking into making a big impact on reusable packaging itself as it goes round and round, and we can save up to 95% of single-use packages with our solution right now.
How was the idea born? What was the beginning point of the Ocean Package?
The beginning was in my apartment in Passau. Passau is a student city in the north, in the southeast of Germany. And during COVID, I had a lot of time. I always
we all
worked.
Did.
Yeah, everybody did. And I always worked next to my studies. I financed them more or less for myself. And then I had a lot of time because the restaurants were closed and everything was closed. So I started to think, if there wouldn't be a possibility to do something good, to give something back. And I ordered a lot online because Passau is a small city, most of the stores closed, so I had to go online for shopping. Mm-hmm. And then I asked myself, why isn't there a solution like Recap? Recap is the biggest reusable cup system in Germany. Mm-hmm. And it exists for more than 8 years, I think. And I was asking myself, why isn't there a closed loop system with cardboards or packaging solutions out there? And then I looked it up and there were not that many. There was Repack from Finland, which exists for more than 10 years now, but they never had the breakthrough. And I thought like, they have a reusable bag. And in my opinion, a bag is not enough. So I looked up to another system, which was the Living Packet from a German-French company. Mm. And they made D-Box, that's what they called. And D-Box is made out of 20 patents, and it's a crazy thing. It looks great, but it was an overkill in my opinion. So I wanted to make yeah, the middle part. So I wanted to use what Repack was doing, but on the same time a bit more on the patent side as well. So we thought it through. We discovered a new packaging design and new material. Mm. So our material is made out of recycled polypropylene. And polypropylene on extrusion is more or less the same than a cardboard from the texture and everything. And then we decided to go with this material, and this was way better than a cardboard. And then we developed that it could be reused, but you have to develop a whole circle for it. So there were a lot of other questions too. Mm-hmm. And the biggest one was, I asked myself, what am I missing here? I can't do this by myself. And then I asked Philip, my co-founder, if he would like to come on board and if he would like to jump into the water with me and look where we could go. Mm.
But of course, the scaling of this closed loop is a crazy challenge. How far are you with that?
So right now we are operating in 5 countries.
Wow.
We are operating in Germany, in Austria, in Switzerland, in France, and in Holland. And
so you have to speak in at least 2 languages, right?
Yes. I lived in France, actually, and so I speak 3 languages. Yeah. I think my French is better than my English, but business is in English, so you get used to it. Sometimes there are some words missing, but in the end, nobody's perfect, and it's not my mother language, but... Yeah, for scaling up, that's definitely an issue. But right now we are mainly focusing on closed loop systems. Mm-hmm. So we discovered that out there are a lot of systems where the packaging comes back with the product. So our biggest customer right now is Outfittery. Outfittery has a closed loop system where you get 2 outfits from shoes to hat, and you try them on at home. And then you send back what you don't like and you keep what you like. And there's a nearly 100% return rate for Outfittery. So we decided that we have to jump in with Outfittery and find a solution with them. And we proposed our packaging solution to them, which is cheaper than cardboard after the 5th shipment already in this closed loop. Mm. And that was the kickstart for us to really have a market here. And Outfittery is operating in 15 countries in the whole EU, so our package is not only in the 5th country, in the 5 countries I heard you, but nearly all over Europe already. Mm. And with this system, we discovered a couple of others. Mm. So out there is for routers, for Wi-Fi. Mm. Every time your router breaks, you talk with the company and they have to send you another one within 24 hours, I think, because Wi-Fi is essential nowadays.
Yeah.
And then you send back the broken one to the company. So there's a closed loop as well. And then we discovered more and more closed loops like that. And in all these closed loops, we can scale directly with the companies. Mm-hmm. And we can replace all the single-use packages from them immediately. But most big companies, like Telekom, for example, they are afraid that we cannot deliver the high percentage yet. But that's not true, because we partner together with our producers. We're really close with them. And I think it's only because we are not there yet. We're still a startup, of course, but we are already in discussion with them. And I think in the near future, they will see what we can achieve. Mm.
The closed loop kind of companies, or the closed loop systems of companies, make a lot of sense, of course.
Yeah.
But is the biggest scale probably like online stores or something like that, where the shipping volumes are massive?
Exactly, the shipping volumes are massive. In the EU, we are talking about more than 28 billion parcels per year, which is enormous. And we are looking on a new law by 2030, 10% of all the packages in Europe needs to be reusable packaging. So right now we are developing...
I'm sure they define paper as reusable and the problem solved or something like that.
That's the issue here, and that's why we are looking into another solution right now, where we have a foldable box. And this foldable box, this is a system which comes from Repack. They use the bags and they fold them afterwards and they put it in the letterbox, and it comes back into the circle like that. But somebody has to pay for it. So right now we are looking on the French market, and La Poste from France, they lowered the cost to 40 or 50 cents from €1.60 to send back the reusable packaging into the system, which is great, which is a great achievement. And in Germany, it's way too expensive right now. because somebody has to pay for it. So we have the solution, but there's still a lot of development to be made within the market from the people. I think my generation is willing to do it. We have the statistics for it, but it's more the generation of your age or of my parents who is still hesitating why they should use more expensive solution to ship the online goods and stuff like that. But there's a change right now, and we are looking on a bright market, and we have to develop the whole market, because by 2030, 10% means only in Europe 3 billion parcels, and we can't do it from today to tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's impossible, so we have to develop it over the time.
Tell us a few words about the material. I mean, you kind of touched up on the topic a little bit, but how much there is kind of, I don't know, innovation on from your side? Does it look a touch different than the other packages?
Well, the material is, as I said, it's recycled polypropylene. Polypropylene is, if you never heard of it, or I'm sure you have heard of it, but most people don't know it, because there are a lot of different plastics out there, and the most common is PET. And when you have a PET bottle, the lid is made out of polypropylene.
Okay.
And we are recycling these kinds of polypropylene, and then we are melting it and extruding it, and then we have a sheet. It's a flat sheet, it's low weight, like cardboard, like paper, but way more durable. Unfortunately, it was not possible to bring one with me here by plane, but I would love to show you, but you can also look it up on the website and see
we'll add the link for the listeners to the show notes
And see how it works. But in the end, it's so simple, because you have more or less the same structure like a cardboard box. It's the same FEFCO code, so it folds the same way. We have two types, the American way and the usual FEFCO code. And then you have the lid and it closes, and we also always keep it gray, because gray is the highest possible recycling rate, because when you add different colors in the recycling process, and you always get a sort of gray, and we do not put any additives into it, because we really want to keep it as green as possible. And in the end, the only problem is that plastic isn't well seen right now, but it's changing as well. And as soon as you reuse plastic for the first time to the second time, you're already better than cardboard, because you don't have the water waste when you're recycling it. When you recycle 1 kilo of paper, you have more than 50 liters of water that you have to use for the recycling process. This is not needed with plastic, with polypropylene. And there are a couple of other components, but in the end, it's more or less the same product, only more durable and better looking.
But basically, kind of the ocean part of the name, that the part of the plastic is coming from the oceans. I mean, I think the rates I've seen where the plastic waste in the oceans is largest is basically Southeast Asia. As you were saying, that Indonesia was the place where you have the cooperation in place. But there is probably, I don't know, Philippines and Vietnam and all these places where there's a lot of plastic waste which needs to be put into better use.
Absolutely. The big issue with ocean plastic itself, because you already have to differ. There is ocean plastic itself is a difficult definition, because there is not really a definition. So that's why we are completely 100% transparent with our sources, where we get them from, because we don't want to let the people think that we are actually picking out of the ocean. We are mainly focusing on rivers and on post-consumer, where it could end in the ocean. So we are kind of the waste management where there is no waste management. But the thing is, with real ocean plastic, you never know how long it has been in the water, how destroyed it's by UV, by the sea salt, stuff like that. So in the end, the best thing you can do is to collect it, to look if it's possible to recycle it, and if it's not, then you have either dump it on a real landfill, or you have to burn it. And that's very messy, and that's the problem what they are doing over there. And so that's why we go into Indonesia. We are working together with companies over there who are telling the people what happens if they dump it in the nature, and what they can achieve if they are working together with us. They get a little bit of money for it, of course, because we pay them. It's a material, it's a resource, and they do not have to dump it anymore into the water, into the oceans, into the nature, and then it gets destroyed, so we can't reuse it. So right now there are two different recycling options. We have chemical recycling, which is way too expensive, but this could be a possibility to recycle ocean plastics, but there has to be still a lot of development for the future. And the other way is to get the people to know before they are dumping it what they should do with it.
Is there a kind of in a roadmap other plastics? Does it have to be just this one, or can you expand it to the, I don't know, PET or some of the, you know, maybe even larger, with a wider availability?
That's the issue, that we can't wire it to other plastics. We have to stick with polypropylene, which is fine because there's a lot of polypropylene out there. But it's right now it's not possible to use PET for extrusions. We were looking into other kind of systems as well. We are constantly developing new solutions. We have a product developer within our team who is looking in other systems as well. Right now it's our running system, but we do not stand behind the sentence, never change your running system, because you do have to make change. Because in our opinion, the most important thing behind the ocean package, behind our solution, is that we have to find a way to clean up our world and to get a cleaner world for tomorrow, because there won't be a tomorrow if there are no companies like us. So the thing is, it's not easy to do the most sustainable way, and we are trying to go this way, and we are paying way more money than other companies in our system by working with Indonesia, by working with Ocean Impact Plastic and stuff like that, because for us it's in the early startup way where we are right now. It's still possible. If we are a company with older than 5 to 10 years, then there's no possibility to start with it after 5 years. We have to start it right away, and that's what we are doing, and that's where we are focusing on.
How big is the company today?
Right now we are 8 people. So the 8th person started this month in October, so on Monday, and we are looking to be more than 10 at the end of the year. We still have a couple of freelancers, and we just closed our second financial round, so we have enough money to scale it up and to grow. We are looking on a French market next year to start a second company over there, and to have sales people in France, because in France there is already by law 5% of the packages has to be reusable since the beginning of this year. So there's another company who is doing more or less a similar thing to us, and they are growing like never before because of the law. And we have, with my background, I'm focusing on the French market as well and looking into it, because in the end we have to start somewhere, and even if it's not Germany, we're fine to go to another country as well. And as we are already operating in it, it could be easy for us to start there.
And for ocean packaging, you need a French name then, right?
I think so, because French people and English is a complicated issue.
Easier probably with the Germans or Estonians or any other nations, I would guess.
Absolutely.
Looking ahead, I mean, you said, you know, a few more hires planned for this year, but if you look a little bit beyond that, what are the next kind of big milestones?
The next big milestones to have 5% of the German market. This is something we would like to achieve by 2027. And in the end, what we want to do is grow our impact side as well. So by next year, we want to focus on either Asia, maybe Africa. I talked on the Impact Festival in Frankfurt 3 weeks ago with a guy who has a couple of projects in Nigeria. And they are developing the sustainability side of Nigeria right now, and we are completely open to open an impact startup somewhere where we can help and work together with locals and really make an impact, and focusing on the product and putting it, developing it to put it into our packages in the future, and helping people worldwide, because in the end, as I said, the most important thing for us is to really have an impact out there. So that's the biggest step for next year, then the countries with France and Austria, and the third one is for 2027, the 5% market market by in Germany, which is really important to prepare for the 10% by 2030.
You said that you have a kind of the plant cooperation in northern Italy. Do you need more plants, probably?
Yeah, maybe. Right now, we're good with them because they have eight production lines, and they have big cooperation partners. I think for now they're big enough for us, but that's also an issue because in Europe there are only a couple of companies who are doing it. So I think the easiest way for them would be to grow with us and to develop a ninth and a tenth line in the future before we start to look at others.
Good. Thank you for your time, Josh.
Thank you so much.
Hey there, I'm DC. I host the Rock Podcast, Back to the Arena, The Interviews. It's about a 30-minute podcast where I talk one-on-one with a band who has released new music. You can find us on all the best podcast sites like Spotify, Apple, Google, iHeartRadio, and more. If you're a rock fan like me, subscribe today to Back to the Arena, The Interviews.
Welcome to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing, where we harmonise your mind, body and soul. I'm Amanda, your sound therapy expert.
And I'm Stephen, the curious explorer uncovering the mysteries of sound.
Together we explore vibrations, frequencies and the power of sound therapy and tuning forks.
Discover ancient wisdom, reduce stress and tune into a healthier life. Subscribe to Tuning Into Sound Wellbeing today.
Electric Acid.